Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about a new season.
Everyone, thanks so much for tuning back into New Every Day. So glad that you have. And Jen and I were just sitting here talking and realized that this is the beginning of season 3.
I know.
So we're in our third year together.
And when we stop and think about it, in the last 3 years, 2 years, we have filmed in California.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We have filmed on the road.
Yep.
We have filmed in Kentucky. Filmed in Tennessee.
Yep.
We have done a road trip, 6 and 16, where we did 6 Great Lakes in 16 hours.
I did not. Anyways.
We filmed then with our good friends.
James and Shelley.
Yep. We've had our friend Jane on the show, and your dad has been on the show.
Right.
And Josh has been on the show, and it's just been so cool. We think back over the last 2 years, the places where we have been together and with you as you've joined us on our adventure. And so we thought as we would start off this new season, we're just going to review, you know, how this whole thing started.
Mm.
And it started with a simple passage in the middle of the Old Testament, like literally if you were to open up your Bible, you know, and it normally opens to Psalms and a little bit to the right. In Lamentations, a wee little book, it goes like this in chapter 3. This is the prophet Jeremiah who is lamenting, hence the name of the book. It says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. And we chose to base this show on this passage because of the hope in these words that we read, the fact that the Lord's faithfulness is new every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's just every day there's something new about what the Lord is doing. And so we want to really focus in on that word new, because it is a new season. And people look forward to new things.
Oh, completely. Like, I think part of receiving a gift is the newness of it.
Yes.
You know, it's so much different than getting a hand-me-down, which I also really enjoy.
Yes.
But to get something new and fresh, like, it just, it's full of hope.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know what? Originally, when we sat down to talk about doing this show, we thought, well, what do we have to offer people?
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty normal.
Pretty normal.
Pretty. It's all relative, really.
Relative. That is true. We just did a song medley of Disney classics prior to
coming. I said, Jen, have you seen my glasses?
I have not seen your glasses.
Anyways, it went on and on. I found my glasses and I put them on. I said, a whole new world. Anyways, it went on and on and on. Anyways, you're getting singing in season 3.
Yes.
This might not be setting a precedent, but anyways. Oh, yes. We're pretty normal.
Normal. Not really.
And we wanted to say, well, what can two normal people who have experienced the love of God offer to others who are watching, who are from different walks of life, from different countries even? And really, it is the hope of God that no matter where you've come from, what you've done, what you've experienced, we all have this in common when we come to God, that we're offered this fresh start.
Yes. Yeah. And that it never gets old.
Yeah.
And so wherever we go, and that's one of the reasons why we take you on the road with us, into these random conversations that can just get started, is that God is present wherever we go. He's not just present in our living room. He's not just present wherever you're watching. He is present wherever we go. He is actively listening, actively participating, involved in everything that we do. And so when we talk about what can we share, well, we can only share with you our lives with Christ, because Christ is the foundation out of which we live. And so when you hear the conversations, it really is just two people living life with Jesus and Him involved in every single aspect of our lives, believing that this passage really is true, that no matter what happens, the good, the bad, and the ugly, that when we remember that, we also remember His faithfulness, the new every day. His faithfulness, His mercies are new every day. Every day is a fresh start. And so today we thought we would talk to you about a woman who had a fresh start.
Yeah.
And so we're going to take you over to Mark chapter 9.
5. Yeah, 5.
Mark chapter 5.
It's also in Matthew 9, right?
There we go. It's right there.
Boom.
Do you want to read it? She told me.
Yes, I do. Okay, so here we go. This is Mark 5, starting at verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around Him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet, pleading fervently with Him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around Him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she'd spent everything she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind Him, through the crowd, and touched His robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch His robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from Him. So He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to Him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But He kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at her knees in front of Him and told Him what she had done. And He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, your suffering is over." While He was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told Him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with Him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at Him. But He made them all leave, and He took the girl's father and mother and His three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, He said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened, and then He told them to give her something to eat. So many things, so many new beginnings in that story.
Yes.
There's the fresh start for the woman embedded in this story of what seemed like could have been a story of no hope at all.
Yes.
Because the death of the daughter.
Yes.
But then she literally, physically and figuratively, received new life.
Yes. And so as we go to commercial break, what we want you to think about is not only was this woman given new life, But what other new things happened in this passage? So we'll be back right after this word.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on there. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Just wanted to thank you for tuning in. And if you want to go to our website, neweveryday.tv, you can go to our partners page and see all the amazing organizations and companies who are helping make this show possible. Also want to say thank you to Robbie Ferguson and his team at Category 5 TV for editing and producing this show. So thanks so much. So Jen, we're jumping right back into Mark chapter 5, where the woman has been experiencing bleeding for 12 years, and Jesus miraculously heals her when she reaches out in faith and touches the edge of his robe.
Yes.
So she is made new, because in that time, if a woman was bleeding, then she was ostracized, so considered unclean. Mm-hmm. So she couldn't go in the temple. She had to be separate from her family.
Yes, all
right?
Those things.
So that
all
was their social and emotional segregation there.
Yes.
And so when Jesus healed her, he not only healed her physically, but socially restored her as well. So you asked a good question before break. What was it?
Well, I asked, you know, what else is new in this passage? So he said that this woman has been transformed. She's been given new life, right? And because everything had been taken away from her. She had been ostracized, segregated physically, because nobody could go near her because of the hemorrhaging that she was experiencing.
Yeah.
And because not only was she then physically segregated, emotionally could not have relationship with people,
right?
Because she was
unclean. Yeah.
And people did not want to become unclean themselves, so they stayed away from her, especially when they couldn't figure out why.
Right.
Like, why so long? And so when Jesus touched her, or when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she was given new life.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jairus's daughter was raised from the dead, she also was given new life. And what's interesting is that this is the first passage in Mark where someone has been brought back from the dead.
Interesting. So Jesus hadn't been portrayed as the one who can raise the dead yet.
Yes. So this is a new miracle for Jesus.
New.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so for those people that were watching, they might be thinking, who is this man that even raises people from the dead? So not only was it a new miracle, it was a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
And sometimes what will start a new season in someone's life is a new way of thinking.
Like, can you give me an example?
When someone accepts Christ as their Savior, he comes and he changes the way they think, starting a whole new way of life. So all of a sudden, because their thinking has changed and they have encountered Christ, all of a sudden it's like they extend love easier, because they start thinking, I need to love this person because Christ tells me to love this person. I need to forgive this person because Christ tells me to forgive this person.
Which might be totally something that they didn't think of before.
Exactly.
Like, I think of a friend of mine when he became a Christian. Suddenly, he didn't want to engage with his other friends who were talking badly about women.
Right.
And badly about their wives and their marriages. It suddenly didn't seem quite right. And
right.
his thinking was, that's not right, it's not what I want to talk about.
Yes.
And also, in line at the grocery store, looking at the magazines and how they portray women in, you know, not wearing a whole lot. And,
right.
And his mind changed, whereas before, it didn't even bother him.
Yes.
So there was an actual regeneration.
Yes.
And a making new. And I love that passage in Corinthians. Where
yes.
is it, Jen?
2 Corinthians 5:17.
Let's just read that.
So, in the NIV, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation.
Mm.
The old has gone and the new has come." And a new creation isn't just physically new.
Right.
It's mentally new. It's spiritually new. And that's why I love this passage about the woman and Jairus' daughter, because so much is being made new. There's so much newness that is happening in that
yeah.
passage, right? So the woman with the issue of blood has now been given, is in a new season because she can have relationship with people again.
Mm.
Jairus and his wife have a new season because they have been given back
their daughter. Dead.
So they are in this brand new season of, wow, what was lost, what was dead is now made alive again. And this new way of thinking about the Messiah now. Like, who is he that he is able to bring people back to life, that he is able to heal a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years? And we ask this question as we read this passage, because it comes up twice, is what's the deal with the number 12?
Right, because she'd been bleeding for 12 years and Jairus' daughter was 12 years old when she died.
Yes, and so as we did a little bit of research, we realized that 12 is the number of completion, but it also represents God's authority and power. And as I got thinking about that, this passage in particular, because it uses the number 12, is symbolic of the power of Jesus to change any area of our life and make it new, so that we truly put our faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I love that. Therefore, if
yep.
anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old way of thinking, the old way of living, the old way of being, the segregation, the death,
yeah.
it's gone.
Yeah, and like you said, we even get a new way of not only viewing circumstances, but viewing people
yes.
too, right? And I like this version, and this is the NLT, the New Living Translation, of 2 Corinthians 5:16-17. Mm. And it says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view."
Nice.
Yeah. And it comes so naturally to view people from a human point of view or a non-regenerated way of thinking that when the newness comes in, it can be shocking. Or I've even caught myself where, you know, talking about a situation or an encounter with a person, and in particular, like, my dad will give a different perspective, say, "Oh, you know what, well, I bet that person experienced A, B, and C in the morning, and that's why they reacted that way. It's not because they are
yes
a, you know, something." And it is like a breath of fresh air. It's new. So this goes on to say, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." And Jen, we'll talk about a little bit this a little, we'll talk about this a little bit in the next show, but sometimes when we're waiting for that new beginning, that's when we really need to have this new way of thinking and a new way of evaluating Christ that doesn't come from a human perspective.
Yeah. And so with that, we're gonna pause, we're gonna do a cliffhanger again, and we encourage you to be thinking about, do you need a new season? Mm. Are you in a new season? What needs to be made new in your life? Is it a new way of thinking? Do you need to be physically made new or socially made new? But the thing is, based on the passage that we read from Lamentations, His mercies are new every morning. There's this idea of newness when we follow Christ. And so we encourage you today to know that Jesus is able to make all things new. And what are those areas in your life where you need Him to make something new? So let's pray.
Thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You, through the power of Your Son Jesus' death on the cross, can make all things new. And so, Lord, would You reveal to our viewers and reveal to Carrie and myself those areas in our lives that need a special touch from You today, where there's some old way of thinking, some old way of being, and You want to make it new, and You're able to make it new. And so, Father, we thank You for the presence of Your Holy Spirit in Your life, in our lives, who guides us, reveals to us, encourages us, comforts us, and heals us. Help us to focus on You, to restore and redeem all areas, to make all areas new. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us for the new start of Season 3. And we hope that you're going to tune in next week, same time, same place, to see where we pick off. Maybe I'll learn how to speak new. Jen, why don't you say goodbye?
And so with that, we're going to say see you next week.
I'm going to pick off my cup right here. Here we go.
Catch you later.